right, at this time, let me invite you to open in the Word of God with me to two sections of Scripture. We'll start off in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we will do this here in just, we're going to do this here again, and who is coming to those who are going to come to help administer the Lord's communion, the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table. We'll have you come here just a little bit, come forward, and in just a little while I'll call upon you to help me. And this is a sacred and spiritual act of what we're going to do today. And it's a time to reflect, certainly, on the body of Christ and what he endured on the cross. It's also a time for you and me to reflect on our walk with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. Corinth was not a perfect church. There is no such thing as a perfect church, but Corinth was one of those churches, I guess, just has a bad reputation. It really did. And I'm not going to go into all the great details, but there's a reason why there's a first epistle, a second epistle, and there's so much in your New Testament, just by sheer size, that was written to the church at Corinth. Just really some wicked and ungodly things the church was doing. And Paul, thank God, had the opportunity by the divine power of God and leadership of God to instruct this church on what it really means to be a disciple, what not to do, and what to do. Thank God for his word to guide us and to help us, to show us who we are in Christ and what we're supposed to be doing for Christ. Left to ourselves, it'd be spiritual anarchy. We need God's word. Man shall not live by bread alone, the Bible says, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We need God's word, don't we? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. And as I read this out loud, I want you to follow along in your King James Bible. And I want you to think to yourself, what was the problem in this church? And I think you'll see that as we read it. What was the problem in this church? And by doing so, doing a study of deduction, I think you and I are going to ask our own life, what is my problem? And I want you to get that taken care of before you observe the Lord's communion. And I'll show you, everything that I'm reading to you is from the Bible. This is not Nathan Housley's words. And this isn't your words. Bible. Amen?
Amen.
We're all on the same page. We all have the same Lord. We're all reading from the same divine book. So we're all subject to its teachings. Amen?
Amen.
All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. If you're there, give me a good Baptist amen.
Amen.
All right. I want some of you ladies, when I call upon it, to say amen too. Give me a good Baptist amen.
Amen.
There you go. Good. Now in this that I declare to you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. When you go to church, it should be for the better. Amen? Well, not with this church. It was not for the better, he said. You just come together, it's not for the better, it's for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Church ought to be a place of diversity.
Amen.
But not at the expense of unity. I'd love to have black people, white people, Mexican people, and I will call it, that's how I talk, so I'm from Kentucky, so don't give up on me, okay? White people, I like to have all kinds of them. I want diversity. God wants diversity. When you and I get to heaven, it ain't going to be all white Baptists in heaven. There's going to be all kind of colors, and there's going to be all kind of tongues, and there's going to be all kind of languages, but there's going to be unity, isn't there? We're all going to be worshiping the same God.
Amen.
That's right. We're all going to be singing the same song. We're all going to be given a new name. There's going to be diversity, but there's unity. The problem with this church is the diversity that they had was getting so glorified that it was hurting the church's unity. And I see that all the time in the ministry. I see things that, well, we get this clique over here, get this people group over here, and I'm all for, you know, identifying with people at your age and stage of life. I get that. I understand that. We all do that. But there's something about coming together as believers in Christ. Amen. And just loving on each other and worshiping God together, confessing our faults one to another, praying for one another, exhorting one another, forbearing one another. I go to the nursing home and pray with people I've never met before in my life, and then find out the next day they're dead. I don't understand why that happens. I don't understand why God does things, but I know that that is my brother in Jesus Christ. And if I can go to that person and love on them and lay my hands upon them and pray for them to have comfort, I tell you, some of the times I go, I get so blessed. And other times I go and I think, man, I'm going to go in here and I'm going to encourage this person to make their situation right with God, to prepare their heart, to meet their maker. And sometimes it's easy, and sometimes you just listen to people and they start crying and they start weeping. Preacher, I know I'm saved. I know it. But I'm scared to death. And I don't know. I look at that dear man and I just try to weep with those who weep and rejoice. I just try to be. Listen, thank God for the church. Amen. Thank God for the Word of God. When you die and I die, my friend, you're not going to be singing heavy metal, rock and roll, rap music at your funeral. You're going to have a preacher at your funeral. That's right, amen. And he's going to get up and read the Word of God at your funeral. He's going to get up there and start quoting the Bible at your funeral. Am I preaching this morning? Anybody listening out there this morning? I don't know what you come to hear, but I've been reading a lot about John the Baptist lately. And I'm getting fired up, and that's all right for the Lord for a little while. Listen, you and I have an inevitable meeting with our Maker. You need to make sure your soul is saved. You need to make sure your sins have been washed in the blood of the Lamb this morning. You need to make sure that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. I wouldn't leave the church house this morning if I was not 100% sure that I was saved before you ever eat another chicken nugget. Praise God. I'd be afraid of choking on a chicken nugget. Somebody say amen. Before you ever have another bite of that steak, thank God. Praise Jesus. I better make sure that your soul has been saved lest you choke on a chicken wing, honey. You need to make sure you're saved before you leave the church this morning.
Yeah.
Well, there's all this division here. Paul said, I hear there's some divisions going on in the church. He said, I'm concerned because I don't believe it. Well, what kind of divisions was going on in the church? What kind of divisions that we see go on in churches all the time? Where did church splits happen? Some of it's related to division. I want to preach the unity of the faith. Amen. I want to be a preacher who confirms there is one Lord. Amen. I like to have a shirt on my back that says there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. We can sit around and look how your color eyes are green and mine are blue and yours are brown and your hair's this color and that color. Look, we can do that until Jesus comes back. But we also need to say we believe in the one Word of God. Hallelujah. We believe in the one Savior who died on the cross of Calvary. Amen. We believe in the unity of the doctrine of the church. That's right. Amen. There are some things that we need to unify around, and they're found in the Word of God. Prioritize the things that we agree on from the Word of God. Amen. Or, first of all, when I come together, I hear that you're all coming together, there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Heresies. False groups and false doctrine and false teaching. Heresy. I don't have time for that junk. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
If you preach false doctrine, false heresy, you're going to get called out on it.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Why? Because there's only one Lord and one faith and one baptism. There ain't two, there ain't three. You can't come into this church and say, well, Jesus is just a way to heaven. We believe there's other ways to get to heaven. Here they go. Hold on right there. Hush. There's the back door. Amen. Somebody help me out this morning. Jesus didn't come to give us a way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why would you want any? There ain't no better way. There is no better way. There's only one God. He's expressed himself in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was baptized, you have Jesus, God the Son, standing in the water. When he looks up into heaven, you hear a voice coming from heaven. God the Father speaking simultaneously. You see another person in the heavens. And then the third person of the Trinity descended upon Christ in the form of a dove. So you see three persons of the Godhead presented there at one scene. And all through the Bible, you have little evidences there. If you'll study, there is one God revealing himself in three persons. God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent, yet they have a unique, yet having a unique substance, if you would, a unique ministry to the world.
Amen.
And many other things we could say. But there is a truth out there. Just like you got real money in your wallet, there's false money out there too.
Right.
I went and used my debit card about a month ago at a gas station locally. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, I was just so violated. Somebody hacked my information off my debit card at the pump and overdrew my account $300. And I tell you, I'm laying in my bed, I'm looking over my shotgun, but the person, and you can see their transaction, how many times they used your card. I'm amazed there was $300 to be spent anyhow on that checking account. But there was, and they overdrew it. Now I'm thinking, well, they have my name. They know where probably can find out where I live. Is there more than one? I'm looking over my 12-gauge. I don't have any bullets. So you know what I did? I went and got something. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to use my Second Amendment right. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And that's another thing that gets under my skin. We have one Constitution in the United States of America, honey. I don't care if you're black or white or what country you come from. You sign up just like everybody else to believe in that one similar Constitution. That's right. Amen. Praise God. Now, there would be divisions among you and heresies. Paul said, they need to be approved. It's going to come to surface. It'll surface eventually. And you'll figure out who's right and who's wrong. When you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. He's saying you come together, there's a reason why he's saying you shouldn't be doing the Lord's Supper. There's a reason why. Now, I want you to read what he's saying. Again, this ain't Nathan Howell's Bible. It's God's Bible. It's God's Word. For in eating, this is what they were doing at this church. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. So what this church was doing is they were having a separate, a feast, a love feast, a fellowship meal. Praise God. I already like the church already. Amen. A fellowship meal, an ate a pudding. Come on now, y'all. Don't die on me yet. We're talking food now. And they had this fellowship meal, and then they would either before, during, or after observe communion. Okay? Does that make sense what they were doing? You following along? But what was happening was, now watch what they were doing. When they were coming together, they weren't doing it together. They weren't having the meal together. That don't even sound Baptist, does it? Praise God, we all eat together. Children eat over here, adults eat over here. We're all in the same, under the same roof. Just take turns, make sure the preacher gets his banana pudding, everybody go, all right? We eat it together. But this one here was a jump in the line and not sharing. The one was leaving, and not even getting anything to eat, was leaving hungry. And other people were drunk. Paul said, what? Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Can't you do that stuff at home?
Or despise you, the church of God, or you despise you, you don't really respect the purpose of the church. Boy, that's a sermon right there. And shame them that have not. It's shameful to the people who don't have anything to eat. Amen. That's shameful. Don't you realize that? He's saying, what shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? No way. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. This is talking about our Lord Jesus. He took the cup in the same manner when he had supped, when he had ate. He said, this is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. We have do communion. We do the Lord's Supper. Why? Certainly because Christ told us to do it. And secondly, we do it to remember what he did for us. So when you put the bread in your mouth, you're symbolically identifying with what Jesus did for you on the cross and how his body was broken. When you drink of that juice, the wine, you are symbolically identifying in belief of what Jesus did when he shed his sinless blood to pay for your sins and our sins. It's an act of remembrance, also an act of obedience. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. There's a third thing. It's a testimony to the world around you. It's an act of obedience because he told us to do it. It's a way of remembrance for us to meditate on what Christ has done for us. This is somewhat of a form of worship. But thirdly, it is a testimony that you're showing the lost world around you in picture form what Christ has done in your life. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, verse 27, and drink the cup of the Lord, look at this word, underline it, unworthily, shall be guilty of the blood and body of the body and blood of the Lord, unworthily, disrespectfully, irreverently, mockingly, coming to the fellowship and coming into the church, going through the motions and have never even been saved to begin with, and you do this despisingly and mockingly, unworthily. I think believers can observe communion unworthily as well. But let a man, look at this, examine himself. Underline that. Examine himself. Examine herself. And so let them eat of that bread. And what am I doing? What's the purpose of the message today? Why am I acting the way that I'm acting? I want you to realize that what you're about to do is important.
Amen.
It's not just something we just pass around. Okay, it's significant. It's an act of worship. And you ought to do this worthily. You ought to do it with respect. You and I should, I have been praying about this service, and I have just been meditating and thanking, and just almost the Holy Spirit has been so heavy on me because of how sinful I am. And that's, I think, normal for a child of God. Before you take this body, this bread, and this blood, and this water, before you observe this commandment of our Lord, this church ordinance, you should investigate and examine yourself. One, have I truly been saved? I wouldn't take of this bread and drink of this wine until you know the answer to that question. And God can give you that assurance, my friend. But secondly, I wouldn't, as a believer, I wouldn't do this until you first pray and get clean of things in your own life. Like I said, we're not just going through the motions. This is an act of worship. And we need to treat it as such. Amen. Now look at what it says. Again, Nathan Hausler did not write this Bible. I'm just preaching it. I don't print the news. I just deliver the news. I'm just a newsboy. Right? I'm riding my bicycle today, handing out the mail. And you don't like what it says, then throw it away. That's your choice, praise God. God gives you that choice.
But he's told me to get on my little two-wheel bike this morning and drop off the mail. This is what it said.
Amen. For he that eateth, I'm in verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. You're not doing it discerningly. You're just going through the motion. You ought to think of it. What's what this symbolizes. For this cause many are wild. Why? For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Oh, you don't really think that we're sick and weak, and some of us have died. You're not really implying, Paul, that the Lord's hurt our physical body because we're living in sin. Paul, surely that's not. Oh, yes.
Come on
now. Don't even act that way right now. Don't even act a fool on me right now, because I know this verse is true.
Right.
I've gone through. Have you noticed that when you're not living right for the Lord, you can't hit a nail on the head without hitting your thumb? Have y'all ever noticed that? Some of you ain't even thought about it that way. Have you ever noticed that your car can't ever work right when you're not living right for God?
Amen.
Right.
Seems like, man, you just got that big paycheck, income tax comes around, thank God, amen! I got you listening. You get that big check come in, and you ain't living right for the Lord, you don't plan on honoring the Lord with that first fruits, that's right, amen! Guess what? Lord knows how to get that, get your heart, don't He? He knows how to get your treasure. He knows where your treasure is. Why, all four of your tires blow out at the same time. When does that ever happen? Or some medical expense has to be paid. You say, brother, you ain't even going there, are you?
Amen.
Well, Paul did.
Amen.
I know better than Paul.
Yeah.
There's been many a times in my life, Brother Philip, that I backslid on God. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you the truth this morning. And the Lord says, okay, I know how to get you to come back around. Bam. Whether that's a physical thing, God whips me. Then the Bible says He chastened the Son and squirted to talk about that. Whether He whips and spanks me somewhere or another physically. All this sickness I've just, this little cough I've had, praise God, I'm thankful that the Lord's helped me with it, Brother Philip. But I tell you, I always think, Lord, is there something wrong here? Have you allowed this to get my attention? Now, I'm not saying that's the case with everything. I don't think every bad thing that happens is because of sin. But I'm sorry. What I do, when it happens, I always think, Lord, have I not confessed something? Have I regarded iniquity in my heart and not dealt with it? Am I preaching this morning to anybody?
Amen.
I'm just trying to help in your walk with God. Verse 30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, because they were not observing the communion spiritually. They were just going through the motions. They weren't examining their faith. They weren't looking into their spiritual life. They were just going through the motion, sin and all, unconfessed, heart unripe with God, divisions and heresies, and bitterness towards their fellow brothers and sisters, and they were just going through something so sacred as a communion. That's not good, is it? And I'm not saying anybody in this, don't ever. I don't know anybody's heart in this service at all. I know mine. And I'm preaching from my perspective. And I think that's going to be pretty fair as splattered out across.
Amen.
But when, okay, now this verse 31, I've got to move this along here. We're going to miss our time. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, underline that, judge ourselves, okay, unworthily, examine himself, judge ourselves. If you would just get right with God, amen?
Right.
That's what he's saying. If you just look at your life and get right with God, you say, how often do I do that? I don't know about you, but that's every day for me.
Amen.
Every day. You say, how many times do you repent? Well, every day.
Right.
How often do you sin, my friend? You ought to pray and ask God to forgive you every day. He said, is this, a young convert may say, brother, pastor, is this normal? Every day I'm always doing it. I'm sorry, brother.
I'm sorry, but the longer you get saved, the more you see how awful sin is. And the more you realize how much of it you do. And how many things that you should do for God, and you don't. And I don't. Here's where it gets to be a problem. If you don't even worry about it anymore. Sin doesn't bother you anymore. You don't even have a desire to pray anymore. That's when red flags are going up. It's like a married couple. They've been, man, when they start dating, oh, it's so wonderful. They're driving an old one bench seat pickup truck. The old young man there, he's got his sweetheart over here. Maybe she's 15, 16 years old. His high school sweetheart, boy, he's a king of the hill, amen. Driving his busted up old pickup truck. And she's sitting right over here. You used to see them doing that down the road, didn't you? See it all, bless their heart. You know they ain't married. You know, just what you was thinking. And then she's sitting all close together, and she may be brushing her hair, and he's just thinking he's a cool dude. You know, he's got his pickup truck and his radio on, his arm around his girl. He wants to drive down to the gas station, hope to see some of his buddies. What's up, Tom? Right on down, you know what I'm saying? He goes all over and says, what's up, Chris? Yeah, we're going on down. Where are you going? Oh, we're just riding. We're just cruising. And each year, she moves a little further away. Each year, she moves a little further away. And then down the line, many years later, kids come and gone down the road. And they're in their late 50s, maybe getting into retirement. She's looking out that window of the same pickup truck. And he's looking out this one and looking straight, of course, looking over here. They're not even near each other. He couldn't even touch, can't even reach her. That's how far apart they rode. He's riding down the road, and then guess who's in front of them? Some young hot rod, little pickup truck, got a little sweetheart in his arm. She's playing with her hair. He's got his song on the radio, amen, his arm around her. Lady over here, been married all these years. She looks over to her husband, a little bit of disappointment after seeing that, and she says, you know, we used to do that. And he said, well, honey, I ain't the one that moved. There's a lot of truth to that, amen? And I think that's what we do with the Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I used to be excited. You wouldn't believe some preachers get so mad. I get to hooping and hollering like this and preaching on God's love and preaching against sin. They used to do the same thing, but they're so backslid on God and cold and miserable, they get mad. I know why they get mad, because they used to preach that way. But they backslid on God. That's exactly right. They're worried about what man says and how they're going to be treated by their church. Listen, I understand that and I get that. Listen, if God's called you and He loves you and He saved you, amen, I want to be right up underneath His heart. Oh, God. I want to feel His arm around my shoulder. I want to know that He still loves me and He still cares for me. I want to know that He hears and answers prayer. I don't want to live all the way on the right side of the car. Praise God. I want to be right underneath of His arm. I want judge ourselves, we would not be judged. We come to church and the preacher gets all in us and we think, man, that's a mean preacher. And then we go out into the world and the world, you're halfway in and you're halfway out. You're playing hokey pokey with God. I was not planning on preaching, Sister Andrea. I had no intention. This was my goal today. Read this passage and just go through this service and get done. I don't have a single note whatsoever. I was going to read this passage and go on. Whatever's coming out of it, my head is just coming out. I appreciate that. It encourages me that you're all for it, but half of you, I'm sure, are not. You're ready to get this thing done and go on. But if I thank you, Brother Stephen, but if you're looking at this passage, you're thinking, well, I come to church and I get jumped on by the preacher. And then I go out in the world, I'm getting jumped on by the world. And then I come back to church and I get jumped on by the preacher. And listen, that's not the way it should be. That's not a good, normal thought process of the Christian life. Praise God, going to church, amen. You get up there with the preacher in spirit. And you jump in with the preacher, amen. You jump into the, I tell you, fired up for God. Why aren't you fired up? Probably because you're not
And some of you, you are your worst critic. How many of you are like that? Man, it's just the littlest thing. If that table, if that fork isn't straight right there, when you set that table for your guest, you have an aneurysm. You know, if your wife puts the gas tank on eighth of a tank, you're ready to burn the car to the ground. Fill the thing up! Quit filling it up just to a quarter, amen. Fill it up! Amen! You know, we just have these little things, these little nitpicky things that we do. I'm my worst critic. I really am. You need to judge yourself this morning. Look at your life. Look at your walk with God. Corinth. Corinthian church. Corinthians. Stop just going through the motions. Look at yourself. Examine yourself. Judge your own heart. Are you saved? Are you lost? Are you just religious and going through the motions? Or is there a real internet connection in your soul with Him? Are you running on batteries and running on fumes? On mom and dad's religion and grandma and grandpa's religion, or the preacher's enthusiasm? Or is there a real fire burning in your own soul? Amen. Amen. Is there unconfessed sin in your life? Is there someone that you're not right with and you need to first lay it at the altar and get right with God about it? See what I'm saying? I made sure I put my tithe in for the Dig Communion today. Right. Amen. Why? Because I want to be squeaky clean. Right. At least as much as I possibly can. I don't want to get any more smudges on this thing already what I already got on it. Amen. Right. Somebody's going to preach on it. Might as well be me. Amen. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry for one another. Hey, take your time. Wait. If the evangelist hasn't showed up yet, it's always the evangelist's fault. Wait for him. Wait for the missionaries. They got 15 kids. They take a long time to get ready. Don't jump into this fellowship meal on the Lord's table. Wait on one another is what he's saying. And that's kind of funny that we joke and laugh about that, but that's what this church had a problem with. Man, they were just, whoever come, got there first, they eat. The poor people didn't get to eat. The poor brothers and sisters were being neglected. He said, wait on each other. Eat together. Amen. They may not come to America. But, you know, I don't know if Paul would think that because we go after Methodists and Presbyterians and Baptists and all of us eat too much together over here, amen. You can't have a nice table to eat at 12 o'clock with the preacher when just us and sit down. But we ought to wait and eat together when we do the Lord's table. Verse 34, I'm almost done. You see the end of the chapter right there? That means we're almost done. See how quickly we got through that? And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. That ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. And he did. And I'm not going to read anymore, but if you skip through chapter 12, look at what chapter 13 is. It's that great chapter on love. And that's all one continuous thought process in the mind of God. Each sentence unfolding to the next, unfolding to the next, and it leads to the great chapter on love. God's word is amazing.
Hey.
All right. I just want you to take a moment. Pray. In your heart and mind, Lord, right now, wherever you're at. Men, I'd like for you, when you have accomplished that, to make your way to the altar here to help administer the Lord's table. But let's just take a few moments to make the Lord's house a house of prayer, examining ourselves, judging ourselves, asking God to forgive us. Sins that we don't even know we may have committed. Dear Lord, please forgive me. Things that I committed that I knew was wrong. You need to pray about it and ask God to forgive you. It's okay. You're in church. Perfect place to do that.
pray for that besetting sin. Pray for that spirit, that temper. Just take a moment just to pray to God and ask His forgiveness. Thanking Him for what He did for you on the cross of Calvary. Amen. Father, I ask that you just, once again, dear God, cleanse me and forgive me where I failed miserably and come short of that glory. Lord, I ask that you would just take the message and apply it to the heart. Thanking you, oh God, for the cross, the fresh start you've given us, the desire to live for God, the desire to pray, the desire to change, the desire to live for the Lord that comes from you. Thank you for that, Lord. When we don't feel worthy, praise God that we're saved all the same. God, I ask that you'll just forgive me. Just forgive me, Lord, where I've sinned and come short. And you know what that is, God. I know what that is in my mind. Please help me. Give me victory over the world and the flesh and the devil. Help me to be obedient. Help me to pray. Help me to live for you at all times, Lord, when no one's looking and when everyone's looking. To live for you at all times. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's have our men come forward, those who can help us. What we're going to do here is I'm going to have the brethren administer the bread first. And I don't want everybody eating it. I want to do it all at the same time. Now let me say, there's nothing inherently magical. We don't believe in transubstantiation, but it's symbolical. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page as far as that is concerned. Is this our bread and plate here? Yes. Hold on to your piece of bread now. We'll have time to eat it together. Gentlemen, once that's done, make your way back up to the front so I can serve you and you can serve me. God did not have to send His Son to this earth. He didn't have to. He could have let us die, be no more. He could have let us die and go to hell. But He sent a body. He sent Jesus.
Amen.
Thank God for that. Broken. Beaten. Tortures of the cross. The Bible says that, or the tradition has it that when Mary, the mother of Jesus, came to the scene of Calvary, she looked over to John and she said, "Which one is my son?" She couldn't identify Jesus amongst the two thieves because He was so brutally beaten. That bread is broken bread. When you look at that little piece of bread, it's broken bread. That's what God did for you. God the Son. And that's what He did for me. Okay.
Now, the Bible says, and when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the bread. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the back of your pew, that's where you put that once we have drunk the wine, the juice. Just try to hold on to it there. We'll observe this all at the same time. There are some churches and preachers that will not mention the word blood. Talk about the blood of the Lamb. But all my hope is wrapped up in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Why would we observe communion? I think it's important that we not shy away from talking like that.
Amen.
It's just how we Christians talk. Amen.
Amen.
We talk about the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. What keeps me sane, preacher? Look at that glass in front of you, my dear friend. The sinless blood of Jesus. That's what keeps you sane. Brother, you really believe that once you get saved, God keeps you saved all the time? That's one of the best questions I could ever answer. For you're kept by faith of the power of God. That's what it says. Not merely by faith, but it's faith that tells you that, but it's by the power of God. Brother Phillips pointing out his hand makes me think of that verse that says, no man shall be able to pluck you out of my hand.
Amen. Amen.
There is nothing that shall separate you from the love of God.
Amen.
Well, the Satan's after me. Yeah, that's right, but you're saved. He can't touch you. And your name's already written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and there ain't an eraser on that pen. Your and my good works don't keep us saved. Not at all. God keeps us saved. That's how much power is in the blood of Christ. Amen. His blood was spilled for your souls. Brother, do this in remembrance of him. And he took the cup and gave thanks. And he said, take this and drink you all of it. It has been done as the Lord commanded. We all say, amen. Amen.
Let me encourage you, if you've not trusted in Christ as your Savior, I wouldn't leave until you got it settled with God. Can I know for sure that I'm saved? Yes. 100% know for sure. Do you believe God is a fair God? Why would your Heavenly Father want you to live life with that uncertainty? Something so important as that. If you would come to see me after the service, I'm going to stand right up at the front. Whoever you are, boy, girl, adult, if you want to inquire on this matter, wait, and we will go over the Bible. And there's some verses I'd like to share with you in just a matter of a few moments that gave me assurance of my salvation. And I'd like to take those verses and show them to you and see if you'd be willing to trust in Christ to be your Savior before you leave today.
Amen.
So whoever you are, wherever you are, I wouldn't leave until you got it settled with God. I wouldn't leave. You never know when your time is going to come. You never know. You could get out of here and get in a wreck. I worked with a fellow. I was a ship manager at Arby's restaurant. His name was Wes Fortner. And he had a birthday, and his parents were well off, and they gave him a really cool Mitsubishi Galant. And man, he had it all. And I couldn't tell you, I think he went to Trinity. Love this guy. I was probably 18, 19-year-old young preacher, you know, put my little New Testament Bible always in my back pocket, even on the job site, kept my little New Testament back there. And we would talk, and we'd play basketball, I'm not thumping the Bible in people's throats and kind of thing, but I want, when the opportunity comes, and God provides those opportunities, don't he? And I try to tell him, and I try to talk with him, I said, Wes, are you saved? Do you know that you're saved? And we talk about religion and this, and then I try to get back to it. Do you know your soul is saved? Your sins have been forgiven. Aren't you fully trusting in Christ? I never got a solid answer. Wes is no longer on this earth. He hit a telephone pole, wrecked and died. And he had his whole life to live before him. Some of you are not going to want to be around me. The older I get, the more I realize people I talk to die. I was playing basketball in my backyard. There's a lady over here who had this nice garden, had all the, just the beautifulest little garden you've ever seen in LaGrange, Kentucky. And I've been going to play basketball in the backyard, and God said, you need a witness to her right now. She's an older lady. And I thought, no, I don't feel like it. I'm just visiting mom and dad. I'm out here working out. I don't feel like God said, you need a witness to her right now. How many of you have ever had that voice speak to you? Do you know what I'm talking about? Man, I don't remember if I ever did. But I do remember my mom telling me, I was asking about the lady next door, had a nice red Cadillac. I said, I hadn't seen her in a while. And she said, Nathan, she's dead. She died. And immediately, God smote my heart. You need a witness to her right now. And I did. I don't think I did. I may have. I hope that I have. I don't remember. Went and visited Mike Parker in the nursing home. The gentleman was laying there, and he stretched his hand and pulled him and set him up. Talked with him. And he gave a clear testimony. I know. Preacher, I know I'm saved. I know that I've trusted in Christ as my Savior. God gave him that assurance. No. The next service we came together, Sister Linda said, Mark passed away. Mike Parker passed away. No way, are you serious? I can't believe that. You
don't know, and I don't know, but you can know if you're saved. Amen. You can know this morning if you're lost or you're saved. Amen. And that biscuit that you're wanting to eat so bad, if that's the thing that's separating you from helping somebody to be saved, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Amen.
No one likes to eat more than the preacher. But I'm willing to stick around. If you want to get this thing settled in your heart, I'd be more than happy to stay with you for a little while. Think about it, friend. Think about it. Is it that important? Is your eternal destiny that important with God?